amazing device under your car. When you're in a manual transmission, you're constantly concerned, changing the gears, putting the clutch, gassing it right. You know, this, that, you're always very active. And that's the way life is under the law. You're always concerned with keeping the commandments in the old covenant. Always concerned with these things outside of you. You've got to control. But in the new covenant, in his blood, it's inside. And the workings of it are too marvelous for us to even understand. I can't believe I used a car analogy, but it seems well to me. In 22 through 23, Jesus has knowledge of his betrayal. He knows the Son of Man's got to go as it's determined. God had already determined before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would be the lamb slain. That means before the foundation of the world, God determined that there would be sin. God determined that there would be many things. God determines things. This is something hard for people to accept, because not having God's perspective, the determinism frightens people. You understand, as you live your life, you can't perceive the determinism of it. It's only perceptible from God's perspective. It's only perceptible when you know what's coming. You know, the scriptures say, the die is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing of the matter is of the Lord. You know, do you think that you can roll the dice and God doesn't know what's going to happen? Like the physics of your hand, the moisture content of your fingers and all that stuff isn't instantaneously recognizable to him, that he just knows, he sees it. He knows. He knows before you pick up the dice, the way, everything. I remember I used to think about predestination. I said, well, God predestinates certain things, but, you know, he doesn't predestinate how I like to, what kind of toilet paper I like to get. I'll tell you, not that God micromanages such minute things, but in the way things are created, all those things end up being determined anyways. He creates a system so incredibly complex. Don't think of it as a puppeteer with strings. I don't mind being a puppet. But he creates things in such a way, and they're so complex, yet he still completely understands the unfolding of it. You know, he doesn't have to knock all the dominoes down to know how they're going to fall. He knows ahead of time. He sets it up, and he knows the results. And the results are according as he wishes. Otherwise, how could all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose? They wouldn't always work out good unless God had said it already to be so. So Jesus declares his betrayal and the woe to the one who would betray him. You know, and it is determined. Yet man is still held responsible for what he is. We're responsible for what we do. In that we are incredibly complex creatures that do know right from wrong. And we have to answer for the evil we do. Yes, God created us this way, but we are what we are. We will answer for ourselves what we are. Well, why couldn't he create us perfect in the beginning? Well, he could have created other people if he wanted to. The way things are, the way God determined he wanted the world to be. Remember, it's God's world. As far as I'm concerned, he's good to everyone who lives in it. It's just we have a faulty way of measuring good. We measure it by ourselves. But he measures it by himself. What does he owe to man? Nothing. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In many of the Gospels, this is a theme. Who of us is going to be the greatest? They begin to argue. With the disciples, they know how great Jesus is, and they think, wow, we are his disciples. And they think, who of us will be the greatest disciple? A servant is not greater than his master, but he might be greater than his fellow disciples. And of course, in doing so, there's a lot of, raw feelings. You know how the kings are. They exercise lordship. They exercise authority on people and then call themselves benefactors, handing out their favors as they will and as they please. But he says, but you're not going to be that way. You want to be greatest, become younger. And you want to be, the elder is always considered, I mean, whether you be old or not, it's the elder like we have a seniority. Doesn't necessarily mean by age. The most senior member, let him be as the younger, as the newest. You want to be chief, be as him that doth serve. Look at me. Well, first he says, look, who is better, the one that serves? Who's greater? The one who serves, the waiter, or the patron? Of course, the patron. But look, I am among you as one serving. I'm among you seeing to your needs, seeing to the needs of people, healing people, serving people, teaching people, not sitting on a throne and letting people serve me. I have come to you as one who serves others. You should be the same. If the greatest is servant of all, then Christ epitomized that greatness. And that's how it always ought to be. But I see in the church, a lot of ministers are, they call themselves ministers and servants, but it's a joke. They're like petty kings in their petty kingdoms. Well, I serve the people. I do counseling and but they live like kings. They're wealthy. They have the adoration. The people leap at their words. I'm not impressed with their servitude. Their names are exalted. Their positions are exalted. They have all this authority. All this position. Now, I'm sure they answer to their board of elders. Yeah, well, they certainly don't look like the newest member of their church. They're not behaving. Not in my estimation. Jesus was not a behind-the-scene do-gooder. He did a lot of good right where people could see it.